Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing that pause button and leaning into the Lord today. Our mission at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. The title for today's podcast is How to Maintain Inner Calm. Inner calm when you don't get what you want. Is that even possible? To maintain that sense of inner peace and calm, perhaps even joy and confidence, when you don't get what you want, in Christ, all things are possible. We're going to take a deeper dive today in some key scriptures that specifically lay out how to make that possible for you today. The learning objective is to understand and apply. You're going to understand, learn, and understand during this podcast. Perhaps you'll listen to this podcast more than one time because there's going to be some pretty cool understandings and some guidance from the scripture today. And then you're going to head out into Earth School and apply what you learn based on what you understand today and what you've learned today. You're going to apply it in Earth School. So the learning objective is to understand and apply God's direction for you no matter what outcome or circumstance you encounter in life. So, in light of the recent election, perhaps you are experiencing joy today, thanksgiving. Perhaps you're experiencing despair, confusion. Perhaps you're experiencing anger, frustration. Perhaps you're experiencing a sense of relief. Either way, toss it into the lap of the Lord, because our emotions do not guide our faith. They are the caboose, the result of what's going on between our two ears and our commitment to Christ. They're a ramification of whether or not we are focused and attached to one thing, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ of Nazareth in his world. Once again, it's not about us. And yet, as soon as we make it about us, shazam, the body gets spun into the stress response. You've heard me speak about attachments before. An attachment is an emotional state of clinging, emotion. An emotion is your body's response to your thought life. What are you entertaining between your two ears? How much landscape are you giving to negative thinking? Or perhaps you're giving landscape to other thoughts that are just crashing in. Dr. Amen refers to those as ants, automatic negative thoughts. Either way, an attachment is an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without something, some specific outcome, some circumstance, a relationship, a job, a position, a promotion, you cannot be happy. You cannot feel successful. You cannot have a sense of peace and calm and deep inner joy. An attachment is part of the devil's scheme to hijack you into the shiny objects, to get you to give allegiance to a shiny object outside of you. In the Old Testament, they referred to these as idols, like the golden calf. There were lots of them at the time. What is an idol that you're holding on to today? They have many different faces. They have many different sizes and shapes. Perhaps it's a little one that goes ding and ping and continually interrupts meaningful relationships and causes you to be distracted in the midst of conversation with the person in front of your face. Perhaps it's an idol of social media. Social media is a big one. It will hook you so fast. It's the scandalon. You've heard me speak about the bait on the trap. That's what the etymology for the word offense is. It comes from the original word scandalon. It's actually the bait that is held on the trap to catch the animal. Social media has plenty of it out there. Are you playing the worldly game today, my brothers and sisters in Christ? Take a deep breath, step back, and lean into the lover of your soul. The one who knows exactly what's going on. And as you've heard me say in the last podcast, when I was sobbing, sitting on the table in the doctor's room, anxiously waiting for my surgeon to come in and speak to me about what it was going to be like to have a double mastectomy because of advanced cancer, she came right in, marched right in, and put her face very close to mine because I was sobbing so hysterically, and said, hey, snap out of it, snap out of it. And it just caught me by surprise because I had just met this woman, this doctor, for the first time. And she got right up in my face and she goes, I think we both know who's ultimately in charge here. Do you know who's ultimately in charge here? This is your peace. Either way, our peace is in Christ. When we get hijacked, the emotions start driving that bus, beep, beep. And we will rise and fall depending upon what's happening outside of us. This is what Jesus died for. This is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom from the emotional swings, from attachments, that Christ died for us to set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Then Paul invites us, stand firm. Stand firm. Firm, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery to an outside attachment, something outside of you. Now, this is much different from asking the Lord to guide you into action that is based in his love, wisdom, and guidance, not one that's based in the ego. Your need to be right, your need to be liked, understood, what you think, what you want, what you need. That's the worldly game. Jesus died to set us free from that so that we can maintain that sense of inner peace as he did all the way to the cross. So much so that he allowed love, because he was love itself, to speak compassion to the people who crucified him on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. To the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, because he expressed a desire for forgiveness. This is Jesus. This is the Jesus that leads with love, that calls us to lead with love. I came across in my study for today's podcast a really cool blog. I always pray for the Holy Spirit to guide me in my studies for each of these podcasts. And they're first and foremost for me, selfishly speaking, and then I put them out on the podcast, trusting that the Holy Spirit perhaps will touch somebody else's heart by something that the Lord is guiding me through personally. This is Earth School, so we have that shared common experience of being human beings and desiring to follow Christ, our Savior. So before we jump in, I'm going to share some of that awesome blog. It's just really opened my mind to kind of nailing down Galatians, some very powerful scriptures found in Galatians chapter 5, and what that means for us, back to our learning objective, to help us to understand and apply God's direction for us right now, for you, no matter what outcome or circumstance you encounter in life. So this is upping your inner game. This is if you've spilled out of yourself, this is gathering the pieces back. If you spilled out of yourself before the election and you were spilling out of yourself for the last year or 2 years or 4 years, this is an opportunity for you to come back inside the castle, pull up the drawbridge, take a deep breath, and rededicate yourself to the lover of your soul, inviting Jesus Christ to sit on the throne of your heart, therefore guiding whatever you think, taking every thought captive, so that you can experience that peace that passes all human understanding, that silent, holy night experience that allows you to maintain inner calm and joy and peace, no matter what surrounds you. Sweet Jesus, we invite you in. Without you, we are nothing. Forgive us for the times when we are hijacked into attachments, when a shiny object comes flying by and we just cling our identity to it. I am this. And if this doesn't happen in my life, then that means I don't get something that I feel I need in order to know that I'm okay or that I'm safe. Lord, this is a faith crisis. Help us to remember that you are ultimately in charge here, no matter what. And we surrender our lives to you and ask you to remind our mind of what our spirit always knows. You see everything. There's no shocker to you. And you are in charge of every single thing in this planet. There's not a bird that falls from the sky that you don't see. Certainly, Lord, you can help us maintain peace and calm, as well as the ability to love people we feel threatened by. That's a job for you, Lord. Help us to know what it means to truly encounter your love, because that's what allows us to step in the most important commands, love our neighbors as ourselves. We can't give out what we haven't experienced within. So today, we are attentive. We seek your face. Up our experience of your love for us so that it overflows to everyone in our lives, not just people who think like us or who have a same political agenda that we have, but everyone, that we would pray for everyone, every human being, knowing that our mission is to spread the gospel of love, of Jesus Christ, of you, Lord. And you died to show us what that looks like, feels like, and sounds like. So give us the grace to take a deeper dive into that. May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight for your glory, for the edification of every listener on this call today. I pray for an extra portion of your favor and grace upon them. So when they leave this podcast, they will feel an even lighter, more connected sense to your heart, now moving forward easily and naturally. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's jump in. If you've got your Bibles, pull them out. If you have a pen and paper, pull it out, because we're going to be going over to some very powerful scriptures today, as well as some pretty darn cool thoughts as well that you're going to perhaps by the Holy Spirit want to lean into and really pull forward. So let's start with Psalm 37, 3-4. This is one of those scriptures I don't feel like we could have enough of. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will do this. He will lead you into prosperity, into peace, into calm. There's lots of different interpretations on that. The call here is to a couple of things. Trust, do good, dwell, cultivate faithfulness, and delight yourself in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness, and delight yourself in the Lord. I've mentioned this before in a recent podcast, and I'd like to bring it in to create a fuller model of today's topic, how to maintain inner calm and peace and joy when you don't get what you want. Psalm 37, 3-4 gives us our first piece of that puzzle, our first learning objective to understand. God is putting this forth. Hey, listen, I see your anxiety. I see your confusion. I see your frustration, or I see past frustration, past judgment. God sees it all on whatever side of the fence you were on. Take a good look at the last year, the amount of space or percentage of your attention you gave to anything outside of you. This is pulling it back inside. Very clear. Trust God. Do good. You're wondering what to do? In any situation, when you have an attachment or you don't get what you want, and perhaps it has nothing to do with the recent election, perhaps it has something to do with something you've really been working hard at. You've been going for a certain pitch and you didn't get it. You've been going for a promotion, didn't happen. You've seen the success of other people over your own success. You've been overlooked. You feel unseen. Whatever it is, it is. You caught someone talking about you. Either way, something outside of you. This is an invitation and a direction. What do I do, God, in situations like this? Trust God. Just like my surgeon said to me before the double mastectomy, I think we both know who's ultimately in charge here. Do you know that? Your emotions will follow your faith. Do you know that God is bigger than whatever it is that you're giving power to? Do you know that? You may know, like the person that Jesus healed in the Gospels, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Be honest, so say that. Lord, I want to trust you. I want to do good. I'm feeling crushed right now, though. So I got nothing. I remember throwing myself on the floor after being diagnosed with advanced cancer 1 week prior to my final divorce court date. And I said to God, I have nothing. And I literally said that in my out loud voice, and I threw myself on the floor, just sobbing. And in the silence came this deep, profound phrase of wisdom. You have everything in me. I've got nothing, and I have everything in Christ that I need to dwell in the land, to enjoy the life that God desires for me to enjoy, to have peace no matter what surrounds me. I have everything. You have everything, my dear brother and sister in Christ. Do not give the devil a foothold by giving free rent to the serpents of self-doubt, fear, and worry. It's time to evict. You're the landlord of your mind. I've said this before. Stress is the power you give to outside circumstance to define your worth, value, and what you believe you're capable of handling successfully or not, or your sense of safety. Psalm 37, 3 through 4, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate means to direct specific attention to devote time and thought to foster, to cherish. That means to cherish is a verb. To cherish, cultivate means to cherish is part of cultivate means to cherish something. So much so that you will direct specific attention to devote time and thought to foster, to nourish, to water, to feed. To cherish means it's a deliberate choice to hold something lovingly, whether it's your enemy, whether it's someone that pushes your buttons, whether it's something outside of you, anything outside of you. It's a deliberate choice, whether it's to nurture your relationship with God, which in this case it is, to cultivate faithfulness. That means to have faith in God bigger than anything outside of you. Now, the opposite of cherish is contempt. So understand, again, know your opponent. When I was training for my black belts, it was understanding my opponent and the moves that my opponent may make to knock me off my game. And as I've shared before, I went in with a lot of confidence into the Colorado State Championship, and within 2 minutes, I was knocked out by an illegal move to back spin kick to my head. An illegal move knocked me flat to the mat. I could have stayed down. And yet I knew the practice that I had put in 4 hours a day, 6 days a week for a full year, something inside me was bigger than circumstance. Even though I couldn't see out of my right eye, I came back and I ended up winning a medal in that championship. There's another story that goes along with that, but for the interest of time, when you have contempt, you will be knocked out. You will literally be flatlined, emotionally speaking. It will keep you up at night. It means to loathe or want to see the worst happen to someone or something. So let's just speak to what's going on right now. Is there someone politically that you loathe? I'm calling you out on this. That is a seed from the dark side. As a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray. If someone asks for something or slaps you on one side, you give them a coat. You pray for those people who are persecuting you. Now, I'm not talking about something that God puts on your heart, to an action to stand for what is right and speak the truth in love. I'm talking about managing the dark side that comes up that prevents you from speaking the truth in love, that slithers in and causes you to loathe someone, to maliciously avoid or wish some negative thing would happen to them. You will be accountable to that at the sunset of this life. We are told that we will be held accountable for every thoughtless word or deed spoken or done against anybody. This is part of the deal. Take a deep breath, shake it off. Let's begin again. As far as the east is from the west, thanks be to God, Jesus gives us an opportunity with the gift of each new dawn to begin again, to let go of loathing and to turn back to cherishing, that we cherish God so much so that we are willing to cultivate a healthy relationship with the Lord by giving specific attention and devotion to God first, over any to-do list, any shiny object. Oftentimes I'll jump out of bed and I'm a type A, strong D in the desk, if anybody's familiar with the desk. And I literally will hear God first, give God the first fruits of your day. Anytime that I've heeded that voice, and I don't do it all the time because my ambitions get the best of me, worldly ambitions, that is. Anytime that I've given God the first fruits of my day, time and attention, kneeling before the Lord, Lord, I know this won't go well unless you show up. I know that I will loathe. I will totally jump in the ring and I'll use illegal moves to win this battle against people that I don't like or that are pushing my buttons. And I know that if, unless you show up, it won't go well. Give God the first fruits of your day. That's part of Psalm 37, 3 through 4. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Remember that cultivate means to direct specific attention to, devote time and thought to foster and to cherish. Watch out for the serpent of contempt. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to show me any room within my soul that is harboring contempt, that is loathing someone, because I do not want to be accountable for that at the sunset of this life. And should you call me home tomorrow? And I remember thinking about this when I was going through advanced cancer, because they were giving me 5 years, if 5 years. And I often think about that, because God's given me another day of life today. He's given you another day of life today. There's no tomorrow guaranteed, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You may stand before Jesus Christ of Nazareth tomorrow. May your colors be clear. Take time to allow the Holy Spirit to sift you, to reveal to you any thought that is led by the flesh versus the spirit, including loathing, maliciously ignoring other people or saying unkind things about other people. To delight yourself in the Lord is the other part of Psalm 37, 3 through 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. That means to have a high degree of enjoyment or joy. Do you have a high degree of enjoyment or joy today? This is an invitation back to help us again to focus on our learning objective, to understand God's direction for you, no matter what the outcome. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Exalt God. Delight actually means to exalt God so highly that we pursue him over and above anything, anything. And you can put anything statement, any person. Outcome, thought, situation, action in your life, especially those things that would knock him out of the first place of your life. Are you putting anything in your life above the Lord? Today, as you listen to this podcast, no worries. God, it's no shocker to God. How quickly can you return today than yesterday? Just come back. Come back. He is the hound from heaven. He sits with great, great desire for a glance, a moment, a word, a prayer. He adores every single small seed of faith that you toss his way. Watch out for those things that you exalt so highly that you pursue them above God. So delight is a word perhaps you will want to lean into a little bit more. Holy Spirit, show me what delight means. I want to delight in you. I don't even know what that word means. I don't know if I've ever said that word. But I'm willing to consider that after today's podcast, I know that it means to exalt you so highly that I pursue you over everything, no matter what is going on in my life right now, so that you take center stage of my mind, my will, my emotions. Psalm 37, 3 through 4 is our first scripture study to help us meet our learning objective of understanding God's direction for you, no matter what outcome or circumstance you were encountering in your life today. Let's move to Galatians 5, 6, specifically the verse that says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith disconnected from love leads to legalism. So Paul is writing to the Galatians here in Galatians chapter 5. He's speaking about circumcision. before that, before this verse, is the only thing that counts as faith and expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Listen, when we're spun emotionally, we only have three choices. And this is the stress response, fight, flight, or freeze. In order to get yourself out of what I refer to as ammo planet zone of the brain, ask a well-posed question. Because in order for the brain to source a possible answer, you need to climb up the stairs from the basement to the attic, which is the frontal cortex of the brain. So you're either in the back of the brain or the front of the brain. When you're in the back of the brain, you're literally in Satan's lair. You're going to fight, flight, freeze. That's when contempt will slither in and spill out into your behavior. And it's not a good scene. And it doesn't lead to the peace that passes all human understanding. So Galatians 5:13-26 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." So Paul is really trying to drive home, what does this look like to that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love? Not just faith, because as we mentioned, faith without love is legalism. Then I'll just be doing all these things, but I'll be looking straight to God, but not to my neighbors around me. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, the entire law is summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. My brothers and sisters in Christ, are you loving your neighbor with the love of God? Paul goes on to say, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed. We will destroy each other. He invites us, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. He provides us the solution. Are you living by the Spirit? Am I living by the Spirit? I had a shirt that I was wearing yesterday that I made, because it's a phrase I use quite a bit, but sometimes I forget when I'm in my flesh that this is what I want to do, so I need a reminder, so I made myself a t-shirt. And this t-shirt says, the Holy Spirit is my virtual assistant. More than that, much more than that, but it captures the fact that I need the Holy Spirit or else I won't be showing up with the person God wants me to be. Flat out. There's no doubt. Paul says this, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. This is the story of the wolves that I shared in the other podcast. There's a gray wolf, there's a white wolf. It's the one you feed. They're fighting all day long. The white wolf stands for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, kindness towards your neighbor, loving your enemy, praying for those who persecute you. The gray wolf stands for greed, selfishness, impurity, debauchery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, all those things. And it's the one you feed that grows. So which wolf have you been feeding? That's the question. You'll know which wolf that you're feeding because the ramification of the wolf that you feed is your emotional state of being. So as we began today's podcast, the learning objective is to understand God's direction for you, no matter what outcome or circumstance you encounter in life. When you experience a peace that passes all human understanding, you have no idea where it's coming from. You are leaning in to the love of your soul. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, you can also experience extreme darkness. And I speak this from the bottom of my heart, going through two of life's top stressors at the same time, advanced cancer and divorce. You can be experiencing extreme darkness, grief, sadness, despair. And in the midst of that, I encourage you to call on the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What I have found in my dark night of the soul experience is that the darker the night got, the more victorious the presence of Christ in my life became. Jesus does his greatest work in the darkest nights. Call on his name, just as Peter did. Simple prayer, Lord, help me. I'm sinking. Continue to call on his name. Back to Galatians 5:13-26. Paul is going back and forth about, hey, I'm calling you to live by the Spirit. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Do you identify with any of those or any strain of those? Just like jealousy. Jealousy walks hand in hand with envy, right? Jealousy has lots of different effects. It also has a negative spirit of competition, wanting to win over someone else. The ego gets involved in that. I warn you, Paul says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking straight up to us. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're experiencing profound sadness today for any reason, Jesus can meet you in that sadness. Don't allow the sadness to become your identity. Allow Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be your identity, to walk you through that sadness. He will come in and crash that place with profound sense of peace. And you can still experience the sadness. And it's the craziest experience. And I'm speaking from boots on the ground experience, where you feel the presence of Christ, but yet you're also able to lightly hold that experience of sadness. But it doesn't become an attachment, meaning you don't lose your identity in it. It doesn't become you. The struggle is not you. You are a child of the living God. God has already overcome all that you feel has overcome you. It's like you're in the drama and then you're off the stage and you're watching it happen. You still experience those negative feelings, but yet it doesn't become your identity. Paul says in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. This is a painful experience. That's why I'm going to read to you a little bit of this blog that I found, because I thought he did a beautiful job of linking to what Paul was trying to communicate here. He was talking about circumcision. And that was a covenant in the Old Testament. That circumcision was a sign of an actual a definition of a covenant. Someone who was circumcised, it was a physical covenant. But nobody saw that, right? It's kind of like when I was going through a double mastectomy and I lost my breasts and basically, you know, had 14 surgeries and I have a ton of scars all over my chest. Nobody sees that. But yet I'm reminded of God's victory in it because I see it every time I take a shower. And so it was like a physical symbol of a covenant with God, right? And that's the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the new covenant. So that's the old covenant. This is the new covenant. Jesus Christ is the new covenant. And the divine characteristic is faith, expressing itself through love in the new covenant. That's Jesus Christ. He lived it. If you're not sure how Jesus showed up, just read through the Gospel of John. Lean into his character. Watch how he dealt with people who came against him. Watch his kindness and compassion for those people in need, for the underdog, for those people in despair, for those people who were overlooked, unseen, underrecognized. Model how he showed up by the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the help of the Holy Spirit because we're too selfish just to be straight up. By nature, we're selfish people. That's the original sin that keeps clawing and grabbing the toy from someone else. Mine. We need the Holy Spirit to help us loosen up, to die to ourselves so that we can truly experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Jesus Christ, he says in verse 24, again, we're in Galatians still, chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Now, circumcision was very uncomfortable. Obviously, I never experienced that as a woman. However, I can only imagine. It's extremely uncomfortable, right? Expressing, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love is extremely uncomfortable. Extremely uncomfortable at times, particularly when your ego is scratching and clinging and screaming. The ego is like a spoiled child. The more you feed it, the more it wants. It does not go down easily. That's why Paul uses a very strong word here. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. This is a daily experience. What do you want to crucify in your life, in your sinful nature? If you're not sure, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. What's in my sinful nature, Holy Spirit, that by your grace and help, we need to crucify for me to experience the fullness of life Jesus Christ of Nazareth died to give me. Show me what that looks like. Paul says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires, the desire to be right, like, to win, to be number one, to be the best, to overcome with others by using contempt, loathing, putting other people down, mocking, any unkind word that puts another human being down. I truly believe that that will come back to us at the sunset of this life, because we're told that we will be held accountable for every thoughtless word spoken. To be in a continual place of grace, which is why confession is so powerful. To be in that place of grace, that's another podcast. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let me switch to, did I delete that by mistake? I might have. Hold on a second. I'm going to read to you something from a blog that I found online. And this is focusing on, and this is actually from the Bible Gateway. I have a bunch of different resources that I use when I study the Bible, but this one, as the Holy Spirit would have it, popped out at me. And this is actually a blog that's written by Andy Stanley, and he wrote a book called Irresistible, claiming the new Testament that Jesus unleashed for the world. So just to jump into this, based on Galatians chapter 5, he quotes Galatians chapter 5 in this blog. So listen into this. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything from this blog that he wants to do some work on in your life to set you free? It's all in love. It's all in love for a lighter version of you. That's what Jesus is always going for. So the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, Galatians 5, 6. This is part of the blog. Seriously, the only thing that counts? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love? Really, that's it? Perhaps he meant one of the only things that counts. The defining characteristic of the new covenant is faith expressing itself through love. What circumstance, what circumcision was to the old covenant, faith expressing itself through love, is to the new covenant. For ancient Jews, circumcision was the defining characteristic of someone in covenant with God, as I've mentioned. For those embracing the new covenant, the defining characteristic is faith expressing itself through love. Big difference. Circumcision was invisible to the public, a once and done, all male, decided by parents. The mark of the new covenant is visible and public, the new covenant in Jesus Christ. It involves daily decisions. It's not gender specific. It's an all person inclusive call. And while it doesn't require surgery, as I mentioned, it's extremely painful. Love requires sacrifice and sacrifice. Sacrifice, and sacrifice is always a bit painful. Notice Paul doesn't say that the only thing that matters is faith. That's the version of Christianity that can lead to the legalism. It's faith expressing itself through love. It's having concern for other people. It's loving other people. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, Paul says in Philippians 3, 4 through 6, he has more. Whatever was to my gain, I consider a loss. He says that in Philippians 3, 7. Then he goes on in Philippians 3, 8. He considers everything loss a loss compared to knowing Jesus. So do you consider everything a loss? Your need to be right, liked, understood, a loss compared to knowing Christ. Your ability to love your enemies, to pray for those who push your buttons. Is that your go-to when someone pushes your button and your triggers? Actually, anybody that pushes your buttons, by the way, is your greatest teacher, because they reveal where you're stuck. If you spilled out of yourself and you're hijacked by something they did or said or posted on social media, that's on you. You're accountable for that because you gave power to something outside of you, what someone did or didn't do, to define your ability to maintain peace and confidence in Christ, to respond in a place of love versus defensive behavior or reactive behavior. So Paul is kind of building his case between Galatians and Philippians. He goes on to say in Philippians 2, 3 through 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather than in humility. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each to the interest of others. What is this based on? Philippians 2, 5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. What? That's crazy. What about me? What about my positionality? This is radical. That's why Jesus had 12 disciples starting out. He knew one of them would betray him, and he knew what would happen. In the end, they'd all betray him when he was crucified, but then they came around, thanks be to God, and they started the way, it was called, which the church. We are to look to the interests of others rather than our own, because that's what Jesus did for us. If you were to ask Paul a relationship question, he would refer to Genesis, Proverbs, or even Song of Psalms. He would look you squarely in the eye. Paul would look you squarely in the eye and would say, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This was Paul's contextualized version of Jesus' new command. Every application was connected to Jesus' new covenant command. No loopholes. Paul applied this new covenant way of love command to everything. This is what we're talking about here. As we started out with Psalm 37, 3 through 4, it's all about doing good, dwelling in the land, cultivating faithfulness, delighting yourself in the Lord. Delighting yourself in the Lord means you live in that place of compassion, cherishing one another. In Galatians, we moved on to talking about what does that look like specifically. We're still having that conversation about Paul's words that every implication is connected to Jesus' new covenant command, love your neighbor as yourself. Paul applied this new covenant way of love command to everything: parenting, finances, conflict resolution, generosity, compassion, adversity. It goes on and on. New covenant participants are to submit to one another in view of what Christ has done for them. Paul doesn't instruct believers to submit to one another out of reverence for one another. Let's face it, most of one another's don't deserve to be submitted to, right? Paul takes us back to the dynamic Jesus introduced in the upper room. The phrase out of reverence for Christ suggests we are to submit to one another out of reverence for the fact that Christ submitted himself to each of us on the cross to pay our sin debt. His sacrifice is to serve as an inspiration and standard for our submission to one another. It's that just as thing again, just as, submit just as. According to Paul, the primary duty of church folks is to one another. Love one another, forgive one another. The list goes on. Submit to one another, encourage one another, restore one another, accept one another, care for one another, bear with one another, carry one another's burdens. If we were to ask Paul what faith expressing itself through love looks like, he might rattle off a list like that. And if you ask him where he got the list, he might suggest you add the phrase, just as Christ did for me. Submit to one another, just as Christ did for me. Forgive one another, just as Christ forgave me. Encourage one another, just as Jesus encourages me. Have compassion on one another, just as Jesus has compassion on me. Restore one another, just as Jesus restored us. Accept one another, just as Jesus accepted us, even to the point of being crucified on the cross. Care for one another just as Jesus cares for us. Carry one another's burdens just as Jesus carries our burdens. This is the short list of all God through Christ has done for us. When we decide to love as Christ loved us, it will look a lot like the items on Paul's list. He singled out a command. Jesus singled out a command in John 15, 12. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Imagine a world where people were skeptical of what we believed, but envious of how well we treated one another. Imagine a world where unbelievers were anxious to hire, work for, work with, live next door to Christians because of how well we one another, and how well we one another them as well. Love one another, care for one another, accept one another, forgive one another. Once upon a time, it was so. Once upon a time, the one another culture of the church stood in sharp contrast to the biting and devouring one another culture of the pagan world. Within that context, pagans found the church to be somewhat irresistible. This was especially true for women, children, and the economically disadvantaged. What was true then should be true today. Paul's one another list should be epitomized to those who call themselves Christians, to us. When people outside the church think about folks inside the church, the items on Paul's list should come to their mind. We should be the best neighbors, employers, employees, friends, partners, and particularly now in the midst of such divisive thoughts and behaviors and pitting against one another. Just so you know who's behind that. Satan is the great devourer. He wants to pit people against each other. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. He wants us to hate one another. He wants to divide us. He's the great divider, the great accuser, the great confuser. Everybody wants to feel included in a community characterized by loving one another. What if we did that? What if you did that? What if I did that? Now moving forward. Let's end with the powerhouse verses on love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, then I become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, an annoying distraction. And if I have the gift of prophecy, to speak all the mysteries, all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but don't have love, it does me no good at all. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It's not jealous or envious. It doesn't brag. It doesn't boast. It's not proud or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not provoked or easily sensitive or easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. When right and truth prevail, love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each other, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails, it never fades or ends. But prophecies, they'll pass away. Tongues, people, what people say, it will cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, that will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. From now on, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection. But then, when time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. And then you take a deep breath and lean in to 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now, there remain faith, abiding trust in God and his promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, and love, unselfish love for one another is growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces. But the greatest of these is love. Going back to our learning objective, understand God's direction for you no matter what outcome or circumstance you encounter in life. Directions from God, we learned in today's podcast. Trust in Him. He is trustworthy. Do good. Do good every day. Dear God, what is my give back project today? Who can I help today and support? Dwell in the land led by God and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate, that's to direct specific attention, devote time and thought to cherish. Live by the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, not the sinful nature. Love out of God's love for you. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. This, my dear brothers and sisters, is the fulfillment of the New Testament in Christ Jesus. He walked it. He lived it. He shared it. He died for it. He rose from the grave because of it. And now He dwells within us to continue that mission of love in and through us. Are you willing to be used for that mission? It's by faith expressing itself through love. Dear Lord, give us the grace of surrender. Help us to trust in You more today, to do good more today than yesterday, to dwell in the land, to cultivate faithfulness. Show us what it means like to delight ourselves in You, to live by the Spirit, not by the sinful nature, to love out of Your love for us. Lord, help us. We're sinking. Oftentimes, we sink so quickly to attachment, the emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without something, we can't have this inner peace or calm. No matter what, You are ultimately in charge here. Help us to trust You, to do good, to dwell in the land, to cultivate faithfulness, and to delight in You, knowing that the only thing that counts in the end is faith expressing itself through love. That is You in us. Become mighty. Become mighty in us, dear God, that we may move out from ourselves into this world. And when people encounter us, they encounter You. So much so that they lean into a relationship with You. In Your most precious name we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I often close the podcast, give Him heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on. For more podcasts, visit us at edgegotin.com. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to the podcast. You can do so by going to edgegotin.com. On the upper right-hand side, you'll have a tab that will allow you to join the podcast, Edge Got In Podcast. You'll get the update every time that we have a new podcast, which is pretty much every week. And then you can go out and share what you've learned from today. So, how to maintain inner calm, even joy, when you don't get what you want. Now you're armored up, which was the title of last week's podcast. It's time to armor up. Enjoy your gift of life today, and I look forward to our next podcast together. May God's favor and abundant peace be yours.